May Allah, we ask you to bless this gathering and bless everyone who's attending this gathering and give tawfiq and success in the work that MCC and all of the organizations are doing to serve the needies who are coming from a land that's been in dire need of help for the past 4 decades. Ameen Ya Rabbil Alameen. First of all, I just wanted to thank Sister Amina, who has been, I've been in contact with her often in the past few months since the refugee crisis. And she's been such a tremendous help and such a blessing to have in our community. May Allah bless you and give you tawfiq and success in all that you do and everyone around her, because it's always there, all those people who help out. It's not a one-man show and one-woman show, any of these programs and projects. So I really appreciate everybody's help, because one of the things about refugees is that we forget that we are all refugee. Our grandfather Adam alayhi salam was the first refugee. The first man on this planet was a refugee. He came from paradise into the earth to do time, and as a refugee he came to this earth. So being a refugee is nothing new, and Adam alayhi salam was searching for, and he was alone on this planet by himself with no help. So, and then because he lost his wife Hawa, and then they found each other in Jabal Rahmah, in Mountain of Mercy. And so from then it has been part of the tradition in the journey of the human being that we have been becoming refugee from one land to another, because all of the earth is the land of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So wherever you go, it's like a chessboard that no matter what move you make, you're still in the chessboard. So wherever we go, we can't get out of the land of Allah, because it's everywhere you go, it belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It belongs to God. So people, travel out of with for a vacation, they go from one land to another. But there are those who actually they don't have a choice to leave. And if you look at the situation where the people of Afghanistan, and you can name many countries that are going through similar tragedies, but Afghanistan is right now is what people are looking at in the news. Over 40 years. It's been really, I mean, I grew up in Afghanistan, and I grew up during war most of my life. And one of the sad thing is that a lot of people in this country, they never have experienced the real story of the people who lived in war. For us, it's kind of like a movie, because we've seen a lot of movies of wars and we think it's cool, but it's really traumatizing growing up in a place where bullets are coming and you don't know if you're going to live throughout that the day that going to school or even picking up groceries from the local grocery store, you might get shot and die. And so a lot of these people are looking for a place of safety. One of the Every human being is in search of happiness. They just want to be happy. It's not like all these people, they want fame and they want glory and they want America or they want Europe or most people, I mean, when we came to this country, we just wanted safety and happiness. And I think every child deserves to have a place where they can call home, a place where they can feel safe and feel at home and feel happy. And I think that for us, what we are doing, and this is one of the a lot of people say, oh, you guys are doing such helping the people, and we have to praise you. This is what everybody's supposed to do. This is every human being on this planet, they're supposed to do this. We're supposed to help those who are in need. And this is now we're living at a time that when you do the basic human action, you're actually praised for it, because nobody's doing anything. And I will be very short, because I don't even know how much time they give me. I think 5 minutes, but I might be over my time. But I'll just read some lines from the great poet of Persia, because most of these people who are coming, they're coming from Afghanistan, and they speak this beautiful language of poetry of Persian. And in this poem, Saadi, who lived 800 years ago, he talks about human being as a family, and what does it mean to be a human being. This definition is so amazing that it actually, this poem is hanged in the United Nations as well in New York. So he says that Bani Adam azay yak digarand ke dar afrinish yak gawharand. He said humanity, all of the human being on this planet, whether they're from Africa, whether they're from Persia, whether they're European, whether they're white, black, yellow, whatever color they are, whatever race they are, whatever gender they are, all of human being, he said, they're like one body. Imagine all of humanity as one human being, as one body, one human. He said, because if you look at the essence of the human being, they're all from the same essence. We all bleed the same blood. There's no green blood and yellow blood and white blood. Every blood is the same color. We all, it's the same. The spirit of every human being is the same, regardless of their color and their gender and their, you know, their class, right? So he said, we are all from the same essence. And he said, when one part from this whole body is in pain because of the circumstances of life, he said, the entire body would suffer from that pain. Just like when we have toothache, our entire body suffers when just a tooth hurts. But why is it that our head, our arms, our hands, our stomach, our feet, every part of our body is suffering when we have a toothache? He said, that's how human beings supposed to be. When one part of this body, this body that we call the human being, the human family, is in pain and suffering, he said, all of the body will suffer. The entire body will suffer. And it should suffer. If it doesn't, there's something wrong. He ends this poem by saying, oh, you who are free from the pain and suffering of other people, you don't deserve this amazing title of human being. Because this title called the human being, this is a gift that God has given us, that we are the crown of creation. We're the best of creation, and we are called the human. People go to school to get a DR in front of their name to be called doctor, right? 7, 8, 9, 10 years they study after their high school and after the university, and then go to graduate school and they'll get their master's and get their get their doctor degree, right? To have a DR in front of their name or to have a PhD in front of their name. But Saadi is saying the greatest title that you can carry, it's called the human being. That is the greatest title. That's above all of these, above the DR, above the PhD, to be a human being. And he said that humanity is when you are in pain and suffering, when somebody else of your human fellow is suffering. Doesn't matter if they're suffering in Africa and people don't have water to drink, and you can drink water here and you can waste water in California, while knowing that people are dying because they don't have access to clean water, there's something is wrong with us if we do that. Something is wrong. That's what Saadi is saying, that we have lost a portion of our humanity if we don't care about the suffering and the pain of other people. And this is important to keep our humanity. That's why we are helping. That's why we are here, to help those people who are in need. Yeah, because the wheel of fortune is turning. We might be on top right now, but one day we might be at the bottom and need the same help that these people are getting, because we don't know. Life is like a play and there are curtains, and we don't know what is the next curtain on this play. Is it a tragedy? Is it a happy scene? Is it a war scene? We don't know. This is the nature of life. So let's help these people whatever we can. And I want to thank each and every one of you from the bottom of my heart, because MCC helped the one house that I was a witness from beginning to the end on how they did it, from the beauty, the ihsan, just the way everything was done, the people that brought this stuff to the house, each individual, one was more beautiful than the other in their character, that these people who were receiving these gifts, they were just in awe of the people who brought these gifts to them. They brought them the mattress, and they brought them the beds, and they brought them even towels for the bathroom, and all these essential needs that they need. But it wasn't just a gift. I'm telling you, some of these people, like this family, some of these families that were helped, they were like kings back home. They lived like kings. They had servants. They had like 10-bedroom homes. But then they packed, and they didn't even pack. They just left without anything. And they have stuff there, but they can't do anything with it. It's kind of like, you know, one of them said, he said, I'm a millionaire beggar now. And he started laughing and says, I'm a millionaire beggar. I have millions of dollars worth of stuff in Afghanistan, and I'm begging here because I can't access to it. I don't have access to it. I can't do anything with it. And I came with, and they even took my backpack at the airport. I came with a plastic bag. They say, whatever you can fit in this plastic bag, go leave. So there are those people that are really in need, most of them. But again, I'm always in touch with Sister Amina, because we also don't want to be taken advantage of, because there's always, you know, there's in every time and every society and every community, you know, like Clint Eastwood said, there's the good and there's the bad and there's the ugly. So there's no society that's free from that. So we have to be careful. And one of the things that I really appreciate about MCC, that they're really vigilant about really helping people to the degree that they need help until they stand on their feet and let them start their life and move forward. But thank you very much. God bless you for everyone who's helping on these projects. And may God give you 1,000 times of what you have done for these people.
Ameen, Ustaz Faridun. Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much for these wonderful words. I think now we just want to go over a little bit of the history of the partnership with MCC and service, Santa Ramon Valley Islamic Center. When the recent Afghan crisis started, the two organizations decided to partner together. And I'll give a brief kind of overview of MCC, and then Sister Nadia will talk about service. MCC's contribution to this partnership is mainly the food program. Prior to COVID, we started off in a tiny little closet. And now, mashallah, our pantry has grown. It started with COVID. We started serving 16 families, and now, mashallah, we are up to over 250 families that we're serving every 2 weeks. We are distributing produce, staple items, and diapers to families in need. And this is now including the Afghan refugees that are coming in.
Thank you, Sister Amina. Assalamu alaikum. So SRVIC started our refugee support program in 2005, but with Sister Chloe and Sister Sophia leading the effort. So between the year 2015 and June 2021, our refugee support committee actually, in partnership with IRC, furnished 63 apartments complete with all household needs, including furnitures, household stuff, groceries for all refugee family. And currently, since August 15, MCC and SRVIC has come together because we realized the crisis is bigger than what any of us can do it alone. And we rallied together, and we have jointly provide support, coordination to support the incoming displaced people. Sister Amina, you want to take the next slide?
Yes. So MCC is providing the biweekly food distribution. We are also coordinating hot food for the family so that when they arrive, they receive a hot meal cooked by one of our community members. We also have a car donation program that has been in existence for the past several years. And we are currently accepting donations of used vehicles that are in good working condition for the refugee families as well, once they receive their driver's license. And we also have a Eid toy drive that goes out to our Zakat families. every year, and it's organized by the MCC Girl Scouts troop.
And SRVIC is also providing household goods to set up a home for these refugees. Jointly, MCC and SRVIC has provided, since August 15, furniture supplies needed for 9 additional apartments, and often with 24 hours turnaround time. We have also developed a pool of drivers. Very thank you to all the volunteers who have stepped forward to deliver food, household items to the families. We have also prepared infrastructure to match volunteers for transportation, visits to government agencies, translation, school registration, and driving license. We have also recruited social workers from Alameda and Contra Costa County to answer questions and serve as resources for us. So since August 15, we have served 17 households referred by IRRC, 37 households referred by JFCS, totaling a total of 102 individuals through apartment setup, welcome family hygiene packet, grocery, hot meals, and bike donations. We've collected more than 506 donations from our Amazon wish list, and donors have generously responded to calls for specific donations and dropped them off at MCC and SRVIC. In terms of cash donation and gift cards, we have collected so far a total of more than $6,000.
Okay, so now I want to introduce the three organizations that we are partnering with and supporting. We will start with the IRC, which is the International Rescue Committee. And we want to welcome Jordan to the panel. Thank you very much.
Hi, thank you so much, everyone. So first of all, I'd like to just say a huge thank you for having me on this call today, and couldn't do the work that we do without MCC and without the partners and the community members that are here. It's been a really busy time, and as you've heard from the numbers just shared, MCC has supported full housing setups, donation drives, kits. I mean, we've had, you know, the list goes on, an incredible amount of support. And literally this support we talk about all the time with our caseworkers. It is life-saving for our families, but also for us trying to provide the services. So my name is Jordan Tofiri. I'm the director of the IRC Oakland office. I've been with IRC for a little over 2 years now. And my role is to oversee the operations of the office. I'm really glad to participate in this call because I've heard raving things about Chloe and her team. Our resettlement team depends on this partnership so much. So it's really great to see some faces here and to be here. I wanted to provide a brief update on some of the numbers of the arrivals and then talk a little bit about what we are seeing through IRC resettlement program in terms of the arrival statuses. So since July 1st, we have received 115 individuals or 38 cases. Of that total, we've seen a combination of refugees, SIVs, so special immigrant visa holders, and then a sort of a new categories that we're calling parolees. And I'm sure a lot of you have heard a lot of information out there. It's been quite confusing for us too, as the resettlement agency staff. So I wanted to kind of give a brief overview of what, you know, the different categories are and what the services look like. So as you probably all know, the special immigrant visa holders are the folks that worked for the U.S. Government or were government contractors in Afghanistan for at least 1 year, and the visas cover their whole family. The refugees that we are seeing also include some individuals that have worked for the U.S. government or government contractors, sometimes less than a year in Afghanistan, or they worked for maybe a U.S. funded program or project, you know, or fleeing from other sort of categories that would qualify them as refugees. And then the parolees are individuals that have pending applications as special immigrant visa holders. So individuals that were in the process with their family of getting the SIV application and visa and had to leave for safety reasons. We also are seeing a category called humanitarian parolee, which this final category are individuals who do not have a pending application and who will most likely seek asylum when they come to the United States or once they're here. So with all these three categories, the services and the needs are the same. When they get here upon arrival, we need to provide housing as quickly as possible. And we've been allocating as many resources as possible for temporary housing. But unfortunately, the resources are limited. We've been mainly getting Airbnbs and hotel stays for families, but we are trying to build more partnerships with landlords that really understand our family's experience coming to the country with no credit history, with no employment history, limited references, and trying to get an apartment and sign a lease. So that's been the toughest part is finding these landlords in the community that can really understand the experience that our families go through. For all of these individuals, regardless of status, they as Mr. Mojadidi, I think you eloquently put, you know, no matter who it was, they're all human. They're all coming here with, you know, your message was really important. They're all coming here with the clothes on their back, whether or not they had resources back home. You know, they're arriving with nothing and they have to start from the ground up. So our role as the resettlement agency is really to help them integrate as well as we can in the community, especially around community members that they feel a connection with. And to help them to rebuild their lives here from the ground up. So aside from housing, food, which we talked a little bit about the food distribution, that's been a high need. Housing setups, we cannot thank Chloe and her team enough for the full housing setups that she's been doing for our families, 17 so far, and the need is going to be growing. So that's an incredible support that we have. There's been so much community support with donations, but there's also a challenge with a space and storage. So having a partner being able to go in and do full housing setups is just phenomenal. Other needs as they integrate is just, you know, community connection, being able to connect to the local mosques. So, you know, thanking the Muslim community out in Alameda County and Contra Costa counties for that connection, being able to support the women, especially who feel particularly isolated right now. Oftentimes having the men in the family with more language skills, more English skills. So, you know, trying to figure out ways to really integrate the women and the children. So I'll leave it at that. I know that time is limited and I want to allow for Fazia, I think, to go next and speak to JFCS East Bay.
Yes, thank you so much. And the partnership with the apartment setups has been wonderful, a great experience for us. And Fauzia from Jewish Family and Community Services is up next.
Good evening, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much, Brother Freidun. This poem is one of my favorite poems and very powerful and meaningful. Thank you so much for sharing this. And thank you so much, Jordan, for giving that raw information about resettlement agencies and the services that we are providing. So I'm not going to repeat all those information and resettlement process that Jordan mentioned here, because we are providing the same services because we are the same resettlement program, and our services is also kind of providing those services from picking up the families from airport to apply for social security cards and connect them with public benefits and navigate them through medical system and all those core services are part of the resettlement program for JFCS East Bay as well. To go over our numbers, Jewish Family and Community Services served as of June 1st up to now, we served 131 individuals. And that's just six individuals are from Burma, the rest are all from Afghanistan. And these families are a combination of special immigrant visa holders and parolees. Just to add with what Jordan shared, I just would like to tell you guys the routes that we are getting families. So our normal cases coming through our headquarters, and those are either if it's a special immigrant visa holders or refugee population or parolees, they are all coming through our headquarters. They are assigning case to us, and afterwards we are receiving their travel info, and then we kind of come up with a reception plan, and of course with the support of our partners. Usually we set up and staging in a house prior to their arrival and making sure that all the arrangement made for the families. But some of those families are coming by their own, and they are being called as a walk-in cases. That could be a special immigrant visa holders or could be a parolee status families. After Kabul collapse, and after that emergency evacuation, all those families were transported through emergency charters, but some of those families were allowed to accompany their family members who was U.S. citizen or they had permanent residency documents. So they joined their family members and they came to our community, and they are in our community right now. Those are the families that are a little bit at disadvantages, because for them to get connected with resettlement programs and other partners and agencies, it's take a little bit of time. And for us as a resettlement agency to be able to serve them, it's also taking a little bit of time for us to send their case, apply for benefits and wait for their case approval and to be able to provide services. So in these cases, we have seen that MCC, other partners, they are doing a tremendous job holding all those families with their needs, providing hot meals and fresh groceries, and also helping families with gift cards, clothing, and all those donation has been made, which is great. We really do appreciate that. And for past few weeks, we have a lot of families that are humanitarian parolees status, that they came as a walk-in case. They reached out and they were trying to get support from resettlement agencies. Unfortunately, we were not able to take their cases on because we didn't have any guideline and instruction from our headquarters. As of last Friday, Jewish Family and Community Services got a guideline and instruction on how to submit benefits for walk-in cases. So if you have families that are being here as a walk-in case, regardless of their status, if they are a special immigrant visa holders or they are refugees or they are parolee status, just reach out to us. We can apply for their benefits and send all their documents for the resettlement process and benefits. And they are all qualified for all the services that our regular cases that are coming through our pipeline are qualified. So in terms of benefits, there is no difference between any of those populations. And in terms of resettlement program, these both population, SIV refugees and parolees, are qualified and eligible for the same financial support and quite similar resettlement program. There are a little bit differences in terms of providing the core services, but in terms of financial support, and the funding that coming through a federal grant for them, the amount, the same exact amount, there is no difference. So just reach out to us if you have any of the families that are willing to be connected with resettlement agencies. We will be more than happy to help them and support them. And just I want to take the opportunity to thank all our partners and committees that help and support Afghan population through this crisis. As Brother Freydoun said, for Afghans, it's been more than 47 years to be a country that is being in a war. And we all kind of, the generation that we are seeing right now, they are all grow during the war. An unfortunate situation that happened recently and this crisis that these families are coming, there's a lot of emotions involved. They are terrified. They fear, and they left their loved ones behind. All those challenges that they are coming, the needs are so significant. If it's even in terms of needs of mental health, if it's the needs of any financial support for them to be able to cover the high housing costs in Bay Area, and of course, for them to be able to start their new life. They left their houses of dream, the houses that they built from their hardworking money for years and years. And now they're starting from scratch. And it will take time for them, and the healing process will take time. So we really appreciate the support of our community when still we are hopeful that the support will continue. I think we all of us have a long way to go. This crisis will continue, and we are ready here for it, but still we are relying on our community support, and I really want to appreciate that. Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you, Fauzia. Next, we have Kelsey from Catholic Charities.
Hi, thank you so much. Okay, it looks like you can hear me, right? Okay. Salam, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate being included in this discussion tonight, and I want to thank all the speakers who went before me. You guys are doing such amazing, incredible work, and I know it's been a really, really exhausting, busy time, so thank you. Just to echo those last words, we also are just so appreciative of all of the support in the community, especially MCC. You are always so very welcoming to us. And I know we had a bit of an emergency situation last week. And Amina, you not only spoke to me once, you spoke to me multiple times in the day, and we're communicating throughout the weekend. So we're just so appreciative of our partnership. My name is Kelsey Coplin. I'm the community coordinator for the Refugee Foster Care Program, which is run through Catholic Charities of Santa Clara County. I've been in the role for over 4 years now. I'm going to give you a bit of an overview of what we do, because it is very different, actually, from the other resettlement agencies that you've heard from tonight. And then I will go into, from there, talking a little bit more about this specific situation that we're facing right now. We resettle unaccompanied refugee minors. So we specifically are working with children, minors who are under 18, who are refugees, who have lost, for various reasons, who have lost or been separated from their parents and guardians. So we're not dealing with families or adults, we're just working with the minors. These are children who come to us directly from refugee camps and other kinds of, you know, refugee settings from all over the world. They are approved for resettlement in the United States, but because they are minors and because they've been separated and are no longer with their families, we have to then put them into foster homes. So along with being a resettlement agency, we are a licensed foster family agency with the state of California. And we are certifying homes all throughout the Bay Area through 8 counties, including Contra Costa and Alameda and Santa Clara County. So the youth come to us, we put them into foster homes, and then we actually work for a really long-term vision, really closely with the foster families, to support the youth and the families on an ongoing basis with continuous wraparound services. Everything from mental health care support to help with the schools, help with all legal and naturalization processes, kind of the whole range of what you could imagine as part of a youth's life, including family dynamics and everything. And we have a pretty big staff. And then even though they have to be under 18 to join the program, we actually are able and very fortunate to support the youth well into their early adulthood, up until age 24, sometimes even 25, which we're really grateful for, because it allows us to really stay with them and accompany them through that transitional age that can be so hard, to make sure that they are in school and working and really more prepared to be independent and self-sufficient by the time they leave the program. Okay, so that's a bit of an overview of what we do. Now, how that relates to what the current situation is. It has been confirmed to us that there are over 200 unaccompanied minors who are in on U.S. soil, we believe at the U.S. military bases. They are not in our custody yet. So I just want to make that clear because it's a common misconception and a question we get. Traditionally, there are sort of two channels that youth, similar to like unaccompanied youth who have come from other countries, go through. And right now, the Afghan youth are sort of in that other channel. However, we were anticipating that they're being processed through the help of UNICEF and other agencies, that some of those youth would eventually come to us. There has been recent legislation that, again, there's a lot of question marks. We don't know for sure, but it is seeming that we are anticipating that actually the youth might start being referred to our programs much sooner. So, you know, our need is urgent. We want and hope as much as possible to have foster homes to put youth in that do reflect the cultural and religious backgrounds of youth as much as we can. That said, we are running a new, this pretty lengthy approval process. We need to follow all mandates and rules and regulations from the state of California. And of course, just we want to make sure that homes are safe and are going to be successful where we're placing children. So we have a pretty in-depth approval process, but we have our next round of training and process starting up for new parents next week. If you're interested, some things to know. We are really looking for long-term homes, people who are willing to make more of a long-term or permanent commitment to youth. Now, we don't know for sure what we'll find. Some youth, by all reporting, it was very, very hectic during the evacuation. So some youth may have family that will be identified and they will be able to reunify, which of course is the number one hope or goal. But that said, most of the time, and certainly in our history through other crises, we really are looking for long-term placements that can create a very stable, consistent home and sense of permanency for youth. Another thing to note is that there can be no more than 6 children living in a home. That's just a bigger rule that comes from the state. So that's something to consider as well. And also, of course, to consider if you have, I know so many people have room in their hearts, but also if there's room in your home, a youth would need either their own bedroom or to share a bedroom with other children, but they would have to be the same gender and close in age, typically within 5 years of age. Another thing just to note that, again, we don't know for sure what to expect in this case. The children are not in our care yet. But typically in the past, a lot of times unaccompanied minors are teenagers by the time they come to us. So again, I don't know for sure, but usually it's teens. There's a big need always for families who are willing to take in teenagers, which I know teens from anywhere in any culture can be a bit of an intimidating to consider, but the youth in our program have been through a lot. They are quite amazing with their resiliency, and we believe that all children are deserving of love and care. So we humbly ask you to consider teens as well. And on that note, similar note, we do see a mix, and we anticipate that there will be a mix of both boys and girls, but we do often have a large need for boys. And I know that taking in teen boys can become a more complicated matter for some households, but it is a big need of ours. So we ask you to please consider and think it over if your home might be a good fit for that. Okay, that's my big request for foster parents. It's always our biggest need, but other ways too that you might want to be involved. We of course are looking for support with language, translation, interpretation, especially when youth first arrive. We want to make sure they understand that they're safe, that they have rights. There's certain paperwork that we go over. So we definitely are anticipating a big need for Dari and Pashto language support. And we also, sometimes we understand that some families are not in a position to be full on foster parents, but especially if you think that you could offer some sort of cultural support and connection to a youth, we're also looking for individuals and families to just act as an extra, you know, loving friend from the community that can either help support the youth or maybe even support the families that we have. If we have a youth placed in a home where the parents are not the same, do not share a cultural background, but maybe someone else in the community wants to teach them some recipes to cook or about certain holidays or any other way to be a friend or a support to a foster family, that is something we're also looking for. So thank you very much. I'm just looking through my notes. I think that's all I have right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all so much. We wanted to take a few questions for IRC and Jewish Family and Community Services. So if you have any questions for them, please type them into the chat. Some of them are in a different time zone and can't stay too long because it's very late where they are. We do have one question. It says, could you please tell us how many refugees you're expecting in the next 6 months or more, and what amount is needed for each family? So Fauzia or Jordan, I'm not sure if you wanted to answer that.
For Jewish Family and Community Services, our proposed number for FY 2022 is to resettle 290 individuals, and that's in combination of special immigrant visa holders and refugees. And also, in addition to that, we propose to resettle 120 parolees. So in total, we are our proposal for FY 2022 is to resettle 410 individuals. What was the next part of the question? I'm sorry, I didn't get the next part.
How much is needed for these families or for each family?
The needs in terms of like financial support?
I'm guessing it's financially what amount is needed as each family is getting resettled by your organizations?
So technically, the amount that they are qualified for, the question is about the RNP fund or the APA fund. Each individuals are qualified for $1,225. So that's if you're a family of eight, then $1,225 times eight. If you're a family of seven, then it's times seven. For folks that are single and families that are small sizes, like family of two and family of three, it's a little bit kind of tight because they are also eligible for the same amount of financial support. And that amount is resettlement, RNP fund, and also APA fund. But also in addition to that, they are qualified for a public benefit. So as of last Friday, we received approval that refugees, special immigrant visa holders, and humanitarian parolees, they are all qualified for all public benefits, cash aid, CalFresh, and medical as well.
Wow. That's really great news.
Yeah, that is.
Okay, so another question is, what can high school age people do to help out with IRC and Jewish Family Community Services?
So on our end, thank you for that question. On our end, we've had donation drives, hygiene kits, you know, activities. Sometimes younger folks are able to not only get the items and do the drives, but put the items together. We've had some groups that have done welcome cards for new arrivals that we then give when we give a hygiene kit. So there are a few activities like this that we can set up. When arrivals were a bit slower, we were able to have groups of students coming into our office and actually doing some of these activities on site and sometimes meeting some of our families. Right now, because of COVID and because of just the rate at which people are arriving, we're not having in-office activities like this. But with that being said, high school groups can still participate in these things, you know, at their high school or elsewhere. We have volunteers from all over. And while we can't take on directly volunteers that are under 18 years old, there are faith-based groups that might have kids participating in their volunteer group. And so that's another way to help as well.
Okay, great. Thank you. I don't see any other questions in the chat. You can feel free to keep putting in questions, and we will continue now with our next set of slides. We wanted to thank our partners and those that have been supporting us. So we have the Thrift Station located in the Tri-Valley area, and they have been supporting us with clothing and household items. Rewire Community has been supporting us with hygiene kits that are part of our apartment setups for the families. The Alameda County Community Food Bank has been a huge partner for the MCC Food Pantry, not only providing food and produce, but recently through a grant, we were able to purchase a cargo van that will be used with our food pantry and also in the help of the apartment setups. Bad Business Bike Models in Castro Valley secured 8 bicycles for a group of single Afghan brothers, all living in the same home. That was a huge help for them. And the Afghan American Community Organization, their website is there, and we'll post it in the chat for you. They've also been huge supporters and partners with the food pantry. And I think next we will move on to apartment setups.
Assalamu alaikum. Hi, everyone. So for apartment setups, we typically get a turnaround time of sometimes we get a week, but now we're getting shorter turnaround time, like 24 hours. And if you could click on the list, you can see what the things we need. Whoever's doing the slide, can we go back to the slide, please? If you click on the link that says things on the top, yeah. I'm sorry. We will show you a list later after this. Basically, what we need to do is currently we are taking things from two lists. We have put up an Amazon wish list for everyone who wants to donate. And you can go to the Amazon wish list and we will list currently what are the items we are missing in our apartment setup. The other place is once we open up the link, you can see hang on. Okay. You should be able to see on the link, right? What are the items? Item marks and asterisks must be new. So please, this is just a sample of the items we need. Do not drop off items prior to contacting us. We do not have capacity to store any of these items on site. So before you buy anything or drop anything, please contact us at refugee@mcceastbay.org. Can we go back to the slide? So we have, yeah. So we'll be providing this deck to you at the end of the day, and everyone on the call will get the deck so you can see the list, okay? And for the apartment setup, we utilize the youth volunteer groups to help organize and sort the supplies as they are received at SRVIC. And we also look for volunteers to drive the donation to the family. So like earlier, Ustad Faridun says that a family receive household items for setup. So what happens is that we pack the items at service. We collect items at MCC as well. We put them together. We call the volunteers who are on our mailing list, or we have a WhatsApp group currently, and we will post, we need volunteers to deliver supplies from MCC service to this location at, we said, Fremont or currently Concord. And then whoever is available, they'll say, I have a van, I have a car, I can take supplies to this location. And once we confirm the volunteer, we then provide the addresses to the volunteer directly. So we don't share the information of who the recipients are or the addresses until we confirm the volunteer, and it's only on a one-to-one basis. But the youth volunteers do typically come in on a Saturday morning or afternoon to help to sort and pack the supplies as we receive them. So a tip on donation, if it's chipped, scratched, stained, or something that you have at home, if you can't use it, it's probably not a good idea to donate it. Just recycle it or trash it. Okay, next slide, please. Chloe, over to you. Sister Chloe, over to you.
Assalamualaikum. Yes, assalamualaikum. Can you hear me? Yeah. Okay, so alhamdulillah. I'm going to talk about two aspects of furniture donation. So the first one is what we are providing to families. And these are larger furniture items. So what we are required by the government regulations to offer is beds. And this is basically full-size twin, which could include, depending on how many people are in the family and space, it could be individual bunk or trundle. And then sometimes cribs. We have to always provide new mattresses. So even if we can get used bed frames or cribs, we have to still provide brand new mattresses for hygiene reasons. So we also provide dining tables, chairs, and sofas. Those are things that need to be provided. We love it when we can provide some kind of storage, whether it's dressers, wardrobes, nightstands, something like that. If we don't have donated furniture from the community, instead a family just gets a plastic drawer set, like a little itty bitty plastic drawer set. So imagine trying to store anything in those, right? Floor lamps are often useful because sometimes people are in apartments that don't have overhead lighting. And then things like coffee tables, entertainment centers, shelving, desks, things like that. If we have the capacity to provide those to families, it's great. It really is it's dependent on what's being offered at the time and whether we have drivers to drive things to people. I see a question about air mattresses. I mean, that might be fine for temporarily, but obviously that's not something that people are going to want long-term, right? So all of the furniture donations that we take should be in like new condition, similarly to what Sister Nadia was saying. If it's chipped, scratched, stained, broken, or wobbly, it is probably not a good idea to donate it. And we really are trying to make homes for people that we would want to live in ourselves. So I think Sophie just posted the link for donating furniture. If we could go to the next slide, we're going to talk a little bit about the process. So the link that Sophie just posted is what you would use if you have furniture that you want to donate. It takes a little bit of time for us to get back to you. We do try to confirm that the furniture is in like new condition and also the availability. sometimes people are like, I'm moving out this weekend. I need it taken within the next 3 days. Sometimes that works out, but that's just like by the will of Allah. Do we happen to have a family and a driver that is able to drive things within the next 3 days? We can't make any promises like that. If you have the ability to hold on to things for longer, then the probability of us being able to use your furniture is definitely higher. So what we do is we confirm that the items are in good condition. We, when a potential recipient family is identified, we show them the furniture through the photographs, and we confirm that this is something that they want, and mostly whether it's something that would fit in their home. Because again, a lot of times we have larger families and very small apartments, and so space is really of a premium. If the furniture donor can actually transport the item, it is wonderful and it's very much appreciated. But most of the time, we don't have that offered to us. And so instead, we have volunteer drivers who we contact to coordinate logistics for pickup and drop off. And bear in mind that neither of the two masajid at MCC, can you go back for a minute, please? Neither MCC or service have storage space for large furniture items. So similar reasons, we can't. Large bulky sofa sets, sometimes we can use them, but not necessarily. And sometimes what will happen is we split them up. So maybe it's a big sofa and then a love seat. Maybe a family of three might benefit from the love seat and another family of four might benefit from the sofa. I realize that's not always convenient for people when they're moving and they want to get rid of their furniture, but sometimes that's kind of how we have to operate. And yes, we do provide tax receipts if that's beneficial. Next slide, please. Okay, so I believe that in the link, we are, you see the chat, the WhatsApp group to volunteer as a driver for furniture transport. I would really encourage everybody to, if you haven't already, to sign up for our main volunteer list, because if this is the WhatsApp group specifically for people who want to drive. So if you want to drive furniture and that's all you want to do, then alhamdulillah, you know, you're welcome to only do this. But if you might be interested in other sorts of activities too, then you can use the link that Sister Sophia just put into the chat. And then we know that you have a variety of interests. It can also be helpful too, because we can try to coordinate if we know that you're in Concord and the family that's having things being brought to them is in Concord, you know, we can try to coordinate that kind of thing too. So for drivers, pickup trucks and minivans are especially helpful. Sometimes a smaller car actually can work if we're just moving on some boxes. MCC will soon, inshallah, be getting a van, which is provided by a grant from the Alameda County Community Food Bank. And the main purpose of that van will be the use for our volunteers delivering food and furniture. So that's going to make it a lot easier for our volunteers to be able to take larger items. So thank you very much. And inshallah, I hope you will consider this role. Next.
Sister Sahar, you're up next.
Hello, everybody. Assalamualaikum, and good evening to all of our panelists and to all of our attendees, everyone that's tuning in to our webinar this evening. My name is Sahar Mahdi, and I am one of the head volunteers for the MCC Food Pantry. I started out as a volunteer last year, right at the, you know, during the thick of COVID. During March of 2020, just like Sister Amina mentioned, you know, we went from a small closet to being partners now with the Alameda County Community Food Bank, and are able to help more families in need, which is a blessing in itself. So in regards to food donations, in the slide right now, these are typically just, you know, common things that I'm Afghan myself, so these are things that Afghans will consume and are preferable. In the non-perishable section, it's spices, rice, you know, things like beans and lentils, and of course, you know, oil and tea are things that they would definitely use in terms of refrigerated and halal meats. We do have two large restaurant style refrigerators and one large freezer that we have in our mosque at MCC. So we would be able to store the meat and the dairy and produce if donated to us. The only thing, like it says on the slide, shelf stable food that's been expired, please compost it. Food donations can be dropped off at MCC. It could also be dropped off on Tuesdays and Thursdays as well at our address. Another thing that's been done for the Afghan refugee food drive has been organizing a food drive. One of our panelists had a food drive organized at her daughter's high school, and they set up one of those canisters and they were able to donate food, and that was subsequently brought over to MCC where we store it, and then as we get the request to prepare, you know, these food boxes for families, we are then able to do so. Next slide, please. If you'd like to volunteer, that is our Google form. That will, you know, you just put in your basic information and then we'll be able to keep in contact. Some of the things that volunteers help us do, we prepare bags of produce and staple food items for our food drive, which happens every other Saturday. You know, breaking down boxes, assisting with the cleanup that happens towards the end of our, you know, food delivery services, which ends around 1 p.m. You can help deliver food bags to the families or help pick up free food items from the church in Livermore or Windmill Farms in San Ramon. So yes, volunteers can definitely do that. And now with the Afghan refugee families coming in, we also can have volunteers come in and prepare these large food boxes for them, which include those staple items such as rice, oil, tea, etc. So volunteering is definitely a great thing at our food pantry, and we definitely appreciate all of our volunteers.
Next slide, please. Sabine and Shazia.
Assalamu alaikum, everybody. My name is Sabine Asif Ali, and I've been a volunteer with MCC for quite some time. And with that, I'd like to thank all our panelists and all our participants tonight for giving us your time on a Thursday, busy night, alhamdulillah. With that and with everything, I'd like to start with the hadith of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the best of you are those who feed others. And with that comes the fact that the people that are coming in, the refugees that we are welcoming in, as they come, our intention over here is to feed the creation of Allah. And Bismillah, with that, I'll say this is more about preparing a hot and a fresh meal as our guests arrive into this country. This is going to be their very first meal as they enter this country. And as travelers, as visitors, we all know that when you're traveling and with this, you're tired, you want to get home, you want to get into your bed, you want to get some rest, and before rest will come a hot meal. And subhanAllah, this is going to be one of the ways to serve your creator. This group of volunteers are named as Hot Food Warriors. And we call this group of volunteers warriors because the request for hot meals come with a very short notice. And subhanAllah, our volunteers have always been very generous, up and about, with all the zeal and enthusiasm to really come up with a meal and ready to feed, alhamdulillah. You can volunteer to cook, or you can even volunteer to have it catered from a local halal restaurant. Delicious meals to welcome the families as they arrive, alhamdulillah. The way we would like, we basically have a few bullet points here down for everybody who would like to volunteer for preparing the hot meal. Meals can be packaged in individual containers or large trays for the family to share. We usually, on our end, whenever we are asking a volunteer to prepare a meal, we give them the number of family members in that family. That way it helps them to prepare. We kind of will try, or I would say that we do mention if there are any young children in the family, so we make sure there's not spicy food, and typical meals will include rice, meat, and vegetables with yogurt or salad accompanied. Meals can be dropped off at MCC and delivery will be arranged, or they can be dropped directly to the arriving families. Tips, obviously not too spicy or oily, not leaking through the containers. And a couple tips for the drivers, making sure your food is nicely packed and secure. No food dripping, no spilling, alhamdulillah. And it's always lovely to have a little bit of a disposable paper plates, silverware, napkins in the entire packet. So obviously, the apartment will be set up for them, but figuring out what goes, where are the plates, where are the spoons, none of those questions. So the food arrives and it's ready to be served. And Shazia, do you have anything to share before I share something?
No, you go ahead. That's what we all needed.
And alhamdulillah, one last thing I'd like to say is that serving others through feeding is definitely a source of sadaqah jariya, and it's basically a sadaqah on your end. And it is always very important that those who cook have a deep intention to cook, eat, and share food for Allah's sake, to ensure this action is spiritually meaningful and that we reap its rewards in the year after. So one of the most profound and beautiful ways to serve the creation. Thank you. And last thing would be that I did share the WhatsApp chat link down there in the chat for joining the WhatsApp group for the food hot meal preparations. But we would also look at ways to share that link. If you are interested in joining that group, definitely click on that link, and that way you are up to date with how and what needs to be done. Thanks.
Thank you, Sister Sabine. Next slide, please. Okay, so IRC has had a buddy program to help the refugees, and we are trying to work towards implementing a similar program for the incoming refugees. So arriving refugee families are taken care of by one of the local refugee organizations for the first 90 days after their arrival. They help each family with paperwork, temporary and eventually permanent housing. Once the 90 days ends, some families, especially those without family or friends already established in the area, have more needs. As a buddy or mentor, there are two options. You could work with one family for approximately 3 to 6 months. So yes, this is something that requires someone who has time to dedicate to this one family. And you will help fulfill their needs and help them better adjust to their new lives. Or you could help some families with a very specific task. Some families coming into the country, they have someone in the family that already speaks English. They might have family or friends that are already here. So the needs that they have are not as, they're not as severe as some of the other families that might be coming in that don't speak any English, and they don't have any family or friends already established here in the area. So some examples for what we are considering to have the buddies do would be driving lessons. And again, this is a choice you would have to make, because obviously the refugees don't have their own vehicle. So you would have to agree to allowing that refugee use your own vehicle, helping them with school registration, driving them to appointments, translating for them, showing them how to use public transportation, touring them around the neighborhood so that they can find where are the halal markets, where is the masjid, where are the other doctor's offices, other places that they have to go to, or helping them with resume writing and job applications. Next slide. Okay, so speaking Dari or Pashto, is a plus, but it's not required. As we mentioned, some of the families are fluent in English. So we have two volunteers that are going to kind of take the lead with the buddy program. Sister Yusra will be our buddy liaison, and her role will be to assess the needs of the families, match them with the buddy, and set approximate end dates. So both the family and the buddy are clear about the time or length of commitment the assistance will be available. And then Sister Nia will be our buddy mentor. She will meet and advise the buddies in regular Zoom sessions, establish times that she's available to work with the mentors, offering them support and guidance throughout the duration of the mentoring relationship. And the mentor will also have access to two social workers, one that works in Alameda County and one that works in Contra Costa County, with lists of resources and things like that as well that will be shared with the buddies to make this as easy of an experience as possible for everyone involved. Okay, next slide.
So can we go on tips on donation, please? The next, okay. So I think, thank you for spending time with us, but I think what we have to say to you is this. If it's an item that's chipped, scratched, tainted, broken, expired, these are things we really cannot take. And, you know, if you cannot use it, we really can't use it. And if you're holding, if you have big household items like king beds, queen beds, or big sofa sets, big dining table, it's going to take us a really long time to find homes for them. And king bed is never be used because they literally cannot fit into an apartment's bedroom that we have for the refugee. So these items, perhaps you can sell them and donate the money to the program if that's how you want to. You really want to contribute, okay? And do not drop off unsolicited donation items at MCC or service. Even if the item is on the list, if you do not contact us and let us know, and we do not agree to it, we cannot use them. And we don't have storage for them at MCC or at service. Next slide. Agree to it, we cannot use them. And we don't have storage. Okay. And on tips on donation, we are not collecting clothes at the moment. We do not have space for clothes, and we are not planning to collect clothes at both MCC and SRVIC. Please do not drop off clothes to us because we will have to put them in the recycling bin. We cannot take clothes at this point in time. Okay. Next slide. So if you have if you have other capabilities and expertise, you can consider volunteering at one of these other organizations who are also providing support for the refugees. Next slide. So this slide provides all the links to the volunteer opportunities and donation opportunities that you have seen in the chat. All of you who are on this webinar will receive the slide deck, so you don't have to busy copy down at the links. Okay. And that's all. Sister Sahar will take us through the closing prayers.
I think we wanted to ask first if anyone has any questions that we haven't answered in the discussion as we went through the slides. If you could post them in the chat, then we'll be happy to answer them. Okay, so here's a question. Have we identified needs for mental health services? Yes, we have. And we have two organizations that are serving the needs for mental health. We have the Khalil Center, which has been in the area for quite some time, and they are currently doing Zoom sessions for their clients. And we can refer any Afghan refugees coming in that may need mental health services. We can refer them to the Khalil Center. And we also have a new mental health organization that is just getting started called Maristan, that's being led by Dr. Rania Awad. And as soon as their organization is up and running and they're able to accept clients, we will also refer them to Maristan as well. And both of these organizations are supported by MCC.
I can take this question. We only work with refugees from Afghanistan. Overall, we've always worked with many different refugees that have come. Just nowadays, obviously, the need is Afghan refugees, but we've never only worked with certain families from certain areas or even certain religions. We've always helped through IRC or any of the other organizations. And then as far as the time commitment, that's another question that was asked. So the time commitment can actually be anything that is easier for you. It could be one time, it could be weekly, it could be a monthly, whatever you can give. Even if you can drive and donate furniture, donated furniture one time, that will be helped towards our organizations, all the organizations. And I just wanted to clarify that MCC and service, we're all volunteers. We actually don't take any overhead for any of the money donated. So that was another question. And then also I wanted to let you guys know that we've been doing refugee setups through service and MCC since 2015. And before COVID, we had the opportunities to actually go in. We would wash the seats, set up the beds, set up the apartments, you know, really even sometimes clean them with different volunteers, even bringing in some youth with their parents or even classrooms, classes like homeschooling co-ops or things like that. But unfortunately with COVID, we don't have that ability anymore. We generally just drop the items and the families set up the apartments themselves. Those are the only questions. And if your another question was if I'm only free on the weekend, actually in the past, the weekends actually it wasn't easy to help because we would be working with IRC, which they work Monday through Friday. But because of the crisis, we sometimes get a 24-hour notice on Friday and we are setting up on Saturday. The turnaround time is very short. So sometimes I feel like there's so many people who want to volunteer and it's hard for us to give people the opportunity to give back. So please do be generous with us because we do try to follow up with all the people who've signed up on the Google form to volunteer. And we try to give everyone the opportunity to help, but it's been really hard to try to keep up with a really quick turnaround of help and then also including others to help us along the way. So,
Sister Sahar, if you'd like to lead us in the closing.
I will recite Surat al-Asr as a closing dua for our program. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wal-Asr illa insana lafi khusr illa ladina amanu wa aminu salihati wa tawassaw bil-haqi wa tawassaw bil-sabr Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yusifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Thank you so much.
Thank you all for coming. Thank you for your generosity, all of your donations, all of your support. As Sophia said, we are working through the volunteer list. Continue to reach out to us at refugee@mcceastbay.org with any questions that you have. And we are doing our best to include all of you in this wonderful effort. And we thank you so much for all your support. Continue to make dua for us. And any suggestions or questions you have, please feel free to contact us. Thank you for attending tonight. And as Nadia said, we will send out the deck and all of the links so that you can reach out to us and sign up for the different volunteer efforts. Thank you very much. Jazakallah khair.